بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The first highlight in this juz is the warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet, saying, don't be depressed if you find the majority of people around you astray. وَإِن تُطَعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you obey most of those on the earth, they would lead you astray from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And perhaps this we can translate into our own lives by referring to things like social customs, social norms that are anti-Islamic, peer pressure, etc., etc. A mu'min should brace up to find himself or herself a minority, but he knows the equation. A mu'min plus Allah is a majority. Then comes the verse that has been described as one of the scientific miracles of the Quran. فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. When Allah wills that someone be guided, He opens His chest to Islam, and if someone be misguided, Allah makes His chest oppressed and narrow, as if He were climbing up in the sky. It is only in this century that we know as we go up, the oxygen pressure is reduced. And those who had the opportunity of taking aeroplanes before the era of pressurization and oxygenation of the cabin would probably have felt this exact description by the ayah. Then the surah presents the laws of food, the laws of eating, because the Jews had added innovations to them and they made things haram and things haram and things haram without really any religious authority, but they took the liberty of making things haram. Perhaps we see a trace of this maybe in our friends and the brothers who are inclined always to say haram, 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 even to things that are not haram. And the Quran tells us about what is lawful and unlawful in the food. If it is dead flesh, if it is spilled blood, if it is pig's flesh, or if it is fisq, that is when prepared some other entity than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be called, as if you, when you say Bism al-Salib, Bism al-Masih, etc., these Muslims should not eat. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the table of the 10 items that we should be concerned with in the way of halal and haram. قُلْ تَعَالَوْا أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ. And these are 10 items. First, don't take associate with Allah. Second, be kind to your parents. Third, don't kill your children because of poverty. And in the same surah, there is some of those mushriks who kill their children are lured to do that by their fellow mushriks. And I think this verse refers quite obviously to the process of abortion that is hotly debated in this country. A human life has the right of life and should be protected. Number four, don't come even near to the abominations and sin, revealed or concealed. Number five, the sanctity of human life. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Number six, the respect and honestly in handling the wealth of the orphan, if you happen to be a guardian, until they grow up and take their money. Number seven, be fair in your dealings. When you are taking, don't try to take more. When you are weighing or measuring, it should be the same standard whether you are giving or taking. Number eight, وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعَدِلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى. You have to be fair in your judgment, even if one of the two parties is related to you. وَبِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُوا. If you give a pledge and a promise, you have to fulfill it. And number 10, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلِ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. This is my path, my way, Allah is speaking, so follow it and do not disperse around it following other paths, for then you would go astray. Then the verse, the surah, presents some philosophical points about, do we have a will, or are we just compelled to do what has been written upon us? And I know when you read in the verse, سيقول الذين أشركوا لو شاء الله ما أشركنا نحن ولا آباؤنا. The mushriks would say, if God willed, then we wouldn't have become mushriks, nor our fathers. And so they put all the responsibility on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this might confuse some people, because in the same surah, Allah says, فَلَوْ شَاءَ لَهَدَاكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. If Allah wills, He would have guided all of you. And here I think is place for some pondering, as Allah advises, don't they ponder on the Quran, or the locks bolted over their hearts. They say, if God wills, we wouldn't have been mushriks. Allah says, if we willed, they would have been all moments. How do you reconcile? As a matter of fact, this is reconciled when you remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human race, He created a different race. All races or creation that we could study so far are programmed. They are programmed to respond and behave in a certain way. And this is God's will. Whether it is the atom, whether it is the star, whether it is the animals, they are programmed to respond. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed to create the human being not programmed, given the autonomy, given the guidance, given the knowledge of good and evil, and given the freedom to choose between them, and therefore they are accountable. And when we read, فَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَهَدَاكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, if every time we are going to do something wrong, Allah twists our arm and prevents us, then the human being will be just another programmed creature. And this will be inconsistent with the will of God, who wills that we have the autonomy and the free choice. If it were His wish, He would have made us also programmed like the rest of them, but it is His will that we are not programmed. And this accountability of a human being is an individual accountability. And the surah says, وَلَا تَكْسِبُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ إِلَّا عَلَيْهَا وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. Accountability is individual. It is not like the Jews thinking they are the friends of God. The other day I was in the University of Judaism and the rabbi said, well, sometimes God makes mistakes. And I hit him. He said, oh, all right, we forgive him. See, this is the Jewish thinking about God, one of us, an equal. The Christians, on the other hand, believe that their sins have been prepared by the blood of Jesus. We Muslims believe that accountability is individual. وَلَا تَكْسِبُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ إِلَّا عَلَيْهَا. What you do, you will be accountable for. And this reminds me of some of our young people, and if you read Islamic history, the question of al-bay'ah. I know that on the university campuses now, there is a very active movement. Someone goes to the young people and tells them, the Prophet said, you have to give a bay'ah or else you are a jahili, etc. And they take the pledge, and they become obedient to those people. And you quite often hear, I did that because the Sheikh told me to do it, or because the Amir told me to do it. No, the Quran tells us that nobody is to answer for anyone else, that if you say somebody else told me to do it, it wouldn't be accepted. You are responsible for your own deeds. And then the surah includes that beautiful verse, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, my prayers, my meditation, my living and my dying. The surah didn't say my life and my death. It didn't say وحياتي وموتي. It said محياي ومماتي. Because life does not give the meaning of living. Living is a process, a continuous process. I am living, doing things. It is a continuous process. وَمَمَاتِي and my dying. So the way I live all my life, the way I die after at the end of my life, is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then comes the Surah Al-A'raf, beginning by speaking upon the what the Christians called the original sin, and how Adam fell prey to the temptation of the devil, and the difference between our concept and the biblical concept. The Quran says that the devil tempted both of them. Not only Eve and Eve tempted Adam. They both sinned, then they both repented, then they both were forgiven. And that's the end of the original sin. In the Bible, it is Eve that is responsible, who tempted Adam. They sinned, they were punished by being kicked out of heaven and coming to earth. Especially Eve, about whom the Bible says, in pain and suffering shall you procreate, you and your daughters, to the end of time. This is not the Muslim concept. And here also we'd like to compare the sin of Iblis and the sin of Adam. When Adam and Eve sinned, they repented, they apologized. When Iblis sinned, he didn't. He didn't repent. Why did you do that? Oh, I'm better than him. You created him from dust, I am created from fire. And whereas Adam knew his mistake and repented until this very day, Satan did not repent. And this is the difference. The original sin, the permanent sin, is the sin of Iblis. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us. Iblis got permission to be after you in your life on earth. I'll send you guidance to immunize you against his plots. He will be waiting for you, to ambush you, even if you are along the straight path, even during your prayer, even during your fasting. Relentlessly, the shaitan will be after you. Probably the shaitan wouldn't go and tell you, I want you to be a kafir. That would be poor plotting. But he might instill things in your heart that might be very gradual. It might be even while you are praying. You know the story of the man in the mosque was praying a very slow prayer, a very long prayer, and a real beautiful prayer. And people looked at him and said, look at this man, how beautiful his prayers are. And the man turned to them and said, and I'm also fasting. So arrogance might be the devil's key to you, to be pleased with yourself. Even while you are worshipping and the fasting and the prayers, the shaitan might be there to instill an atom of arrogance into you, and the Prophet says, whoever has an atom's weight of arrogance in him will never be allowed to heaven. Then Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Those who believe and do the good things, one would have expected the mention of the reward. But you do good things, and Allah says, we do not put a load over a soul except what she can carry. And therefore, do not despair if you make a mistake, and always be hopeful in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because even when you are described as amanu wa amilu salihat, attained to faith and do the righteous deeds, Allah says you have a limited capacity, and we put on you what is proportioned to that capacity. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, كل ولد آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون. All the children of Adam are sinners, but the best of them are those who, after sinning, they go and repent and seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the verse goes to another scene, another picture, image, and that is on the Day of Judgment, and a look at heaven, a look at the paradise. And we find those in paradise describing the bliss they are in and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a specific description there, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلْ. That is, they never feel angry, rancor, jealousy, bitterness against anyone else. And this is a feature that will be to your credit if you try and pick up this feature before the Day of Judgment in your life. That is, to be a person with a loving nature, and the people who are doing right, doing wrong, hurting you, insulting you, nice to you, etc., you never feel that bitterness, that darkness of rancor in your heart towards them. And this you can achieve. I know a person who was the victim of a tyrant, and he was put in jail and he was tortured, etc., etc. And of course, this is a memory that cannot be forgotten. But he confided in me. He told me, now in my daily supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when I'm asking for his forgiveness to the dead and his mercy on the dead, I say, and be merciful to so-and-so and his group, and make your mercy to them an extra reward to their victims. And this man could get the darkness of bitterness out of his heart, now that he even seeks God's forgiveness to the person to whom he was a victim. In the hereafter, there will be some raised places like hills, and there are some people standing there still waiting for the verdicts on them, their destiny. They look to one side and see people in paradise. They look to the other side and see people in hell, upon which they say, please Allah, لَا تَجْعَلْنَا مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Don't make our destiny amongst those wrongdoers. And they hear conversations. The people on in paradise call upon those in hell, we have found what Allah promised us through. How about you? And they say, yes, unfortunately, it turned out to be true. The people in hell shout at the people in paradise, please, give us some water or some sustenance that Allah has given you. And the answer comes, Allah forbade them to the kafirs. And this debate goes on to show the contrast between those in hell and those in heaven. A particular verse in this surah الله إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام. Your Lord is Allah who created heaven and earth in 6 days. Now we have also to reflect, what is a day? You ask me what is a day, I tell you 24 hours. So, did Allah create heavens and earth in 6 days, each comprising 24 hours? No. The Quran speaks about a day which is equal to 1,000 years in our calculations. The Quran speaks about a day that is 50,000 years. We say day is 24 hours because the earth we live in rotates around itself before the sun in 24 hours. If the sizes vary and the speed varies, it would take more than 24 hours. And therefore, Allah draws our attention that it's a vast universe with planets whose day is maybe 1,000 years or 50,000 years. Then there is a mention of a number of prophets, but whose constant admonition was, عَبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. And there is the mention of Nuh, of Hud, of Saleh, of Shu'aib, and all going to their people to say the same words. Worship Allah, you have no God but Him. And this confirms the oneness of the religion since Adam until today, and that it is just a long chain of prophets, a long chain ending in the last link, which is Islam. May Allah accept our submission to Him and make us the real Muslims. وصلي اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله.